In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. In comparing the Trinitine Mass from the Council of Trent with the English Mass of Vatican II, we first notice the omission of Psalm 42 right in the very beginning. So I'm looking for the reasons why. Of course, I cannot find anything specifically in their new missal, which I did find a copy of 2010 online of the Roman Missal that I assume is what they're using. And I'm quoting from the International Committee on English and the Liturgy for the 2010 version of the new Mass from Vatican II, and then from the Trinitine Mass I've used, St. Andrew's Daily Missal, 1958. I'm trying to pick sources that are available to people so they can go to these sources. Many of these things have been reprinted and are currently available. We must be careful in trying to discern the intentions as to why this was removed, as only God can see and read the hearts and minds of men. All right, so I warn the fathers and others very frequently not to get into, say, this person did this because of this, because we don't know what their exact intentions are unless they specifically say, these are my intentions, or their outward manifestation of their intentions are very clear. But we can, however, observe and comment on the effects of the implications that can be drawn from this. So the removal of Psalm 42, I can't say this is specifically why they did it, but I can point out the ramifications of removing Psalm 42 from the beginning of the Mass. First, if we need to consider the 42nd Psalm, it's the prayers at the foot of the altar, and I found the English translation from, again, the St. Andrew's Daily Missal. The priest begins, "In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost," and the server responds, "Amen." He begins with the antiphon, "I will go unto the altar of God, unto God who giveth joy to my youth." And then he begins Psalm 42, "Judge me, O God, and distinguish my cause against an ungodly nation. Deliver me from the unjust and deceitful man." And of course, this is said alternating with the servers. And the servers respond, "For thou, O God, art my strength. Why hast thou cast me from thee? And why go I sorrowful while the enemy afflicteth me?" The next verse, "O send out thy light and thy truth. They have led me and brought me unto thy holy hill, even unto thy tabernacles. Then I will go unto the altar of God, unto God who giveth joy to my youth. I will praise thee upon the harp, O God, my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for yet will I praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. And glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen." And then it ends again with the antiphon said at the beginning, "I will go unto the altar of God, unto God who giveth joy to my youth." Okay. As I say, the new missal that I found online for 2010 does not have this psalm at the beginning. So we're left next to look at why this is there in the Trinitine Mass. So I've gone to Garanger, Explanation and Prayers of the Ceremonies of the Mass from 1885. Okay. Some of the notes gathered from there. Before and after the recitation of Psalm 42, the priest says the antiphon, "Introibo ara taride," "I will go unto the altar of God." The servers respond with the versicle, "Ad Deum qui laetificat juventutem meum," "Unto God who giveth joy to my youth." The priest and the servers alternately recite 42. Garanger says, quote, "It is most appropriate as a beginning to the holy sacrifice. We may remark here that the church always selects the psalms she uses because of some special verse which is appropriate to what she does or to what she wishes to express. The psalm of which we are now speaking was not in the more ancient missals. Its usage was established by Pope Pius V in 1568. When we hear the priest saying this psalm, we understand to whom it refers. It refers to our Lord, and it is in his name that the priest recites it. We are told this by the very first verse. Ab homine iniquo et doloso eroe me. Deliver me from the unjust and deceitful man. Continue quoting from Father Garanger. This 42nd psalm is an appropriate introduction to the Mass, inasmuch as it is our Lord whom it will bring among us. Who is he that is to be sent to the Gentiles, but he that is light and truth? David foresaw all this, and therefore he uttered the prayer, Imite lucem tuum et veritatem tuam. We take his prayer and make it ours, and we say to our Heavenly Father, send forth him who is thy light and thy truth. That ends the quote from Father Garanger. In the commentary found in Father Haydock's Bible, commentary for the notes of Psalm 42, among other notes, we have, after we have proved ourselves according to the admonition of St. Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, before approaching the Holy Eucharist, we may beg of God to judge and protect us. Okay, so in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, St. Paul treats of the abuses and the Mass and the proper way we are to approach the Blessed Sacrament. Before we ask why this psalm was removed from the new Mass, we should probably consider why Pope St. Pius V and the Council of Trent put it in the Trinitine Mass in 1568. The Council of Trent was held to combat the false doctrines of the Protestant revolutionaries. I believe a simple perusal of the decrees of the Council of Trent will easily bear this out. The sacrifice of the Mass was high on the list of attacks of the revolutionaries. The Protestants protested the term sacrifice as they would not allow that Jesus is continually sacrificed upon our altars. The Mass and the sacrifice of Calvary are one and the same sacrifice. The Protestants rejected transubstantiation and the true presence of Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. They rejected the priesthood, etc. It appears to me that Psalm 42 was placed at the beginning of the Mass because it clearly speaks of the altar of God. The altar implies sacrifice, and sacrifice implies a priesthood. There should never be any doubt in the Trinitine Mass that the priest acting in the person of Jesus Christ is sacrificing the living Jesus Christ on the altar, true God and true man, hidden under the appearances of bread and wine. The apparent, maybe even stated goal of the Second Vatican Council was to remove the stumbling stones in the way of the return of Protestants, our separated brethren. Removing Psalm 42 from the prayers at the foot of the altar or the preparation for the sacrifice of the Mass appears to be the first step in being less offensive to Protestants. Protestants are not opposed to a communion service, commemorating the Last Supper, or a memorial meal, but they adamantly reject the sacrifice of the Mass, the unbloody renewal of the sacrifice of Calvary. A major objection that we have to the new Mass is that in accommodating the Protestants, it essentially turns Catholics into Protestants. Removing references to sacrifice essentially denies the sacrifice. It is not drawing Protestants into the Catholic Church, but instead it draws Catholics into Protestantism. Okay. And I think that will be enough for this evening. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.